If you've got any product that touches lending, real estate data, consumer credit, or interest-bearing accounts, stop what you're doing for the next 8 minutes. Because the risk architecture underneath your underwriting assumptions just changed, and most founders haven't caught up yet. Let's start with the mortgage market, because the signal here is loud, and almost nobody in the indie founder space is talking about it. Housing analyst Melody Wright has been digging into FHA loan workout data, and she found a mechanical rule change, effective October 2024, that has quietly defrozen a foreclosure pipeline that pandemic-era programs had been suppressing for years. Here's how it works. HUD now requires borrowers who are 90 days delinquent to complete 3 consecutive trial payments before they can receive a formal partial claim, basically a government-backed loan bailout. During those 3 trial months, those borrowers are still reporting as delinquent to credit bureaus. And here's the number that should get your attention. Approximately 50% of borrowers are failing out of that trial program. Wright calls that rate unprecedented, given how generous the program is. Building on that, 17% of the 90-plus day delinquent population is showing zero contact. Not missing payments, zero contact. Wright says that figure exceeds what we saw during the global financial crisis. And researcher John Kaminsky's data shows that borrowers who got one partial claim before October 2024 were 5 to 7 times more likely to need another one, meaning the pre-rule change borrower pool was heavily stacked with repeat users who are now structurally locked out under the new 18-month spacing rule. The timeline math creates a very specific inflection point. Borrowers who entered distress in November 2024 failed trial payments by February 2025, burned through any remaining forbearance over spring and summer. Those borrowers exhaust every option right when foreclosure sales traditionally peak in the fall. Q4 2026, against the thinnest buyer pool of the year. Here's where it gets real for founders who aren't in mortgage directly. Wright also found that 30-day delinquency in Fannie and Freddie Prime books, not FHA Prime, rose in both February and March of 2025. That's supposed to be tax refund season. When delinquency moderates, it didn't. Distress is migrating upmarket. If your credit decisioning engine, your BNPL underwriting model, or your home equity risk framework was calibrated to the 2022 through 2024 delinquency suppression regime, you are systematically underpricing default probability right now. One more methodological trap to flag. Black Knight and ICE headline delinquency figures exclude foreclosures from the delinquency count, so official data looks cleaner than the underlying reality. You have to know what's being omitted before you trust the number. Practical move. If your product touches mortgage servicing, home equity lending, or consumer credit in Midwest markets, Indianapolis, Columbus, Cleveland, or Northeast markets like Boston and Philadelphia, tighten your LTV, debt-to-income, and reserve requirements now. Wright specifically flags those markets for simultaneous foreclosure and inventory stress. And look at PropertyRadar.com. Their pre-probate and tax lien data leads formal foreclosure filings by months, sometimes years. That's a leading indicator layer most credit models aren't using. Now let's talk about the rate environment, because there's a second structural mispricing that's compounding the credit risk problem. If you've got any yield-bearing product, a BNPL discount rate model, a cash sweep tool, or embedded lending priced against the Fed's published neutral rate of 3.1%, that number is probably wrong. Macro analyst Danny Dayan argues the Fed's primary neutral rate model, called the Holston-Laubach-Williams model, has been generating systematic forecasting errors for 15-plus years. It persistently overestimates unemployment and underestimates inflation and growth. The Fed's own alternative model puts neutral at approximately 4.3%. The 10-year forward market agrees. Dayan's proprietary framework sits at 4.5%. every Taylor rule variant per dyen is currently above the policy rate. More importantly, the empirical data supports this. M2 money supply is growing at roughly 11% annualized. Regional bank loan growth is running at approximately 12% year-over-year, the fastest pace in 15 years. Core PCE is running at 4.4% on a three-month annualized basis. And University of Michigan consumer inflation expectations for 1 year outstand at 7.7%. These are not inputs that justify a 3.1% neutral rate assumption in any lending or yield product model. If you're building treasury management APIs, interest-bearing embedded accounts, or cash sweep products for small businesses, stress test your architecture against a scenario where the 10-year treasury approaches 5.5%. Analyst Jesse Felder independently identifies that level as a financial conditions tightening threshold. He also flags the Bloomberg Commodity Spot Index, advanced by about 6 months, as a reliable leading indicator of 10-year yield direction. And current commodity strength is consistent with further yield rises. That's your early warning system. Third force, and this one is a GTM opportunity if you position correctly. Banks are about to become very motivated buyers of AI automation tools. Darius Dale at 42 Macro has identified banks with high employee compensation as a percentage of total revenue as a preferred sector for margin expansion, and the mechanism isn't layoffs, it's attrition and hiring freezes. That means AI-augmented workflow automation becomes the procurement priority. Dale estimates productivity growth running 150 to 200 basis points above trend. The unit economic case is simple. AI compute is replacing headcount in compliance, reconciliation, and risk functions. If you're selling to banks, reframe your pitch. Stop leading with revenue growth. Bank CFOs are already anticipating labor cost reduction through AI. They want to hear about compliance-safe workflow automation. Audit trails, role-based access controls, SOC2 certified processing, documented headcount ROI models. Lead with a free API or limited trial for one specific workflow. Classic product-led growth entry. Then convert to a direct enterprise sale targeting the CFO or chief risk officer. Show them the headcount math. That's the conversation they're ready to have. Quick note on the fundraising window before we wrap, because the timing here matters. Both Dan and Dale frame the current macro environment as a risk asset melt-up until one of three conditions breaks it. Oil above roughly $150 a barrel, the 10-year treasury at 5.5%, or the Fed turning genuinely hawkish. Dyen's posture is buy every dip until those conditions are met. The practical read for founders is that elevated valuations are available right now, but the closing conditions are specific and identifiable. Dale also flags that a Strait of Hormuz headline could trigger a short-term risk-off sell-off. Front-load your capital raise before any of those triggers compress your valuation. The window is open, but it has a known shape. And one more opportunity hiding inside all this regulatory risk, private credit. Wright found that private notes and seller financing mortgages, which account for roughly 25% of recent commercial real estate lending growth, are almost entirely invisible to credit bureaus and carry zero Fed visibility. Regulatory scrutiny is coming. A Texas municipality has already defaulted on bond payments in what Wright characterizes as a first-of-its-kind default linked to federal funding misuse. If you build the reporting infrastructure now, proactively you become the compliance layer. If you wait, you retrofit it under compulsion, which costs materially more. And if you're aggregating private note and non-traditional mortgage data today, you have a genuine data moat over any model relying solely on Fed commercial bank schedules, which Wright says are systematically underreporting stress. Your quick win for today, pull up your credit or yield product's core assumptions and find the neutral rate input. If it's sitting at or below 3.1%, you've got a stress test to run before close of business. Model what your conversion rates, charge-off exposure, or margin looks like, at 4.3%, and again at 4.5%. That single scenario gap is the blind spot most fintech founders are carrying right now, and Q4 data is going to make it visible whether you're ready or not. That's your Solopreneur edition for today. Thanks for being here and doing the work that most people won't. Get after it. We'll talk tomorrow. That's your SOAR brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.